Thank you very much, Dr. Delgado. Our last speaker before the question period is Ms. Florence Roll. Florence Roll is the new senior liaison officer of the FAO Liaison Office for North America. She's an agronomist and environmentalist. She has worked for more than 15 years on agricultural and rural development in Europe and Africa, and more specifically, 7 years for the private sector in water management and soil rehabilitation, and 12 years in FAO on technical cooperation programs. She has an MSc degree in rural resources and environmental policy from the Y College, United Kingdom, and two equivalent MSc degrees in agronomy, water, and forests from the Génie rural des eaux et des forêts and the Institut national agronomique Paris-Grignon, France. She joined FAO in 1998, first in Rome, as an advisor to the Assistant Director General of the Technical Cooperation Department, and then as a donor coordinator for the World Bank in Ethiopia, before moving to the Washington office in September 2010. She began her career in Paris with the Water and Soil Research Institute of Vivendi, where she worked from 1991 to 1997. Let's welcome Ms. Florence Roll.
Good morning, everybody. It's an honor for me to be here with you today. I'm very proud. It was said, I just arrived in Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago, and I spent 3 years in Ethiopia. So I'm going to speak a bit of the FAO global response to the food crisis, but I take this opportunity to speak about Ethiopia and Ethiopia's response to the global crisis. So a bit of background, you know, the food price crisis. If you look at the green line, food price started increasing in 2007 quite drastically. It continued in 2008. If you look at the pink line, and then from mid-2008, it went down until beginning of 2009. 2009, it went up again a bit. 2010 was more or less stable, but recently we've seen a new upward trend of the food prices, and in particular wheat prices, international wheat price, and very recently, I mean 2 weeks ago, in maize as well. Then number of undernourished people in the world, it has increased since 1995, but it increased in a more rapid pace in 2006-2007 due to this food price crisis, and it declined in 2010, but when you look at the existing number today, it's still higher than before. A bit of background on the political process. What is important in this slide is that since the establishment of the high-level task force, the UN high-level task force in April 2008, there were a lot of big meetings, high-level meetings, G8, G20, on food security and nutrition. So there is an increasing attention by the international community on food security and nutrition issues. FAO global response to this food crisis. The first characteristic is that it was an early response. I mean, I think it was July 2007, FAO warned the institutional community, the international community, about the food price increase. And December 2007, the Director General of FAO established what we call internally the IFSP, the Initiative on Food Soaring Prices. And then these early, I mean, we had an early policy advice. We developed a guide for immediate country-level action, which identified the set of policy and programmatic measures that are available at the country level to respond to this food price increase. And we had an early action, what Christopher was referring to, this emergency assistance, the short-term assistance, with assisting 80 countries in delivering, you know, fertilizer inputs, improved seeds, and technical assistance to the most affected farming households. The second characteristic of the FAO Global Response was it was joint, coordinated. I mean, there was I think it's 58 assessment missions together with the World Bank, World Food Programme, and IFAD, I think, and to elaborate, to work on the response planning, which kind of interventions could be implemented in these 58 countries to address the crisis. The third characteristic is a catalytic thing. Since FAO was quite early in saying the importance of the food price crisis, it get a momentum. It was a strong political message. All these early action was a strong political message to say it's important to do things now. And it was catalytic for FAO itself because with all this early action, we had gained experience on and information on what was happening in these countries. And so we got confidence and we got funding from the EU Food Facility Program. We got requests from the different countries to work on their CADEP country investment strategies, on their investment projects to be submitted to the Global Agricultural Food Security Program that Christopher was referring to just earlier. Another important element is a global monitoring of price. I don't know whether you know, but I mean, on the web, you have a price database which enable you to do analysis on food prices at the international level, regional level, but also national and subnational level. And now FAO is in the process of evaluating and identifying the lessons learned from these early response to the crisis. I want to go to Ethiopia now. I mean, I will try to describe to you what was Ethiopia's response. What do you do at country level to face these type of challenge? Ethiopia, what is important for you to know is that high population, 80 million inhabitants. In the 60s, there was only 25 million, and the World Bank predict 160, so double of the population in 27 years. So big challenge. Then, like all sub-Saharan African countries, its agriculture is a key sector of the economy in terms of employment, of share of the GDP, and export earnings, so foreign exchange earnings. It's a low input, very little fertilizer, 3% of improved seed utilized, and subsistence, not commercialized agriculture. And the one of the other big characteristic of Ethiopia, it's a highly vulnerable. Every year there are between 77.5 million people, so almost 10% of the population, which is chronically food insecure. Between 3 months, the food gap is between 3 and 6 months. And in addition to that, if there is a drought, if there is a food price crisis, economic shock, you have in addition between 3 and 7 million people in need of food aid. That's to give you. So the food price crisis in Ethiopia. The three main cereals are in green teff. Teff is a very peculiar cereal in Ethiopia, but very important. It's the most important one because people eat injera, which is made of this very tiny, tiny cereal. In red, wheat, and in maize, blue, in blue. So we have the same patterns of the international prices. A huge increase 2007-2008, then a decrease, but prices are staying, remaining quite high compared to 2007. With one exception, I mean, the graph, I didn't get the data, but I had a talk with one colleague, an IFPRI colleague, who was with me in Ethiopia and is now in Washington. And in maize, apparently, 2 weeks ago, the price went down again to the level of 2006-2007 with 100 birr per quintal. So that's important it's a incentive for farmers to produce. Production went up after the drought, the famous drought of 2002-2003. What is important to... I have the new, but I didn't put it on the graph. For 2009-2010, there was an expansion. The expansion of this production is for half due to area expansion and for half due to productivity increase. And in 2009-2010, this area increase was more than usually used for cereals. In the cultivated area, there was a shift towards more cereal and more wheat and teff. And this is a result as the incentive of having high food prices for farmers to produce. Because we always speak about consumers, if you want to increase production, you need to have incentive for farmers to produce. The government response. As Christopher said, government had to address these high food prices. What did they do? They did whatever they could, and they released their food stock to the limit which had never been reached before, and they sold it at a subsidized prices in urban areas like Addis Ababa, and targeted to the poorest people. They imported wheat. They imported 200,000 tons of wheat, if I remember well, and they sold it at a subsidized price. They requested more food aid. They had an appeal, what we call an emergency appeal, for 4.6 million people, and then between March and July, August, the number of people in need reached 6.4 million in 2008. They removed the tax on the value addition on food grain, wheat and flour. And in order to ensure that these reduction of tax was transferred to the consumer and not taken up by traders and retailers, they controlled the prices on bread. And I remember on the television, you had these slogans saying, "We decrease the price of bread." And they put a ban on export of cereals that they lifted just a few months ago. What are these measures? It's all short-term measures, and it's mainly directed at the consumer end, which were the most rapidly affected by this food price increase. What we development partners did to support the government to respond. The first short-term measure was it's development partners, but the World Bank provided foreign exchange to the government to purchase fertilizers because, the import bill was so huge because of the fuel price increase. Export bill was reduced. The balance of payment was very negative. So they really needed foreign exchange. Otherwise, they would have not bought this fertilizer. And then we did a lot of advocacy on the need to also invest in productive agriculture and in the long term to work on the structural causes of food insecurity in Ethiopia. And for that, we worked on three. We had a cost-benefit analysis on the importance of investing in the producer end compared to the consumer end, because the dollar you invest in at the consumer end gives you much less in return than at the producer end. And we worked on the public expenditure. I mean, the World Bank did right on time a public expenditure review on agriculture, which showed that more than half of the budget of the Ministry of Agriculture was devoted to this food insecure area where land was already degraded. So where your return to investment was going to be very low and less than in productive areas. We did the same on the donor aid, distribution of the donor aid, and it was even worse. I mean, 75% to 80% of donor aid was concentrating on these food insecure areas. So then we support the government in embarking in a large investment program on agricultural growth, dedicated, targeted to this high potential area in order to boost productivity, enhance marketing, and add value to the crops. I mean, to put value addition. It's a World Bank program. Canadian CEDA was there and is committed to put money in it. And it gained a strong momentum, and now I think there are 5 donors putting money in it. Then we also support, which was key, the preparation of the next 5-year development plan. At the country level, it's a key document which is going to give you the direction of where you're going to invest. And then we try to monitor the aid effectiveness in agriculture and food security to be ensured to balance more the portfolio of donors in Ethiopia. What is important here is that it mainly focused on the long-term part, so the importance having both approaches that David Nabarro was telling us, I mean, the first day, on the first evening, and more production-based, looking at agriculture. This was possible. I think it's very important to say that it's not donors doing that. This was possible because the government was very committed and had a strong ownership of working and investing in agriculture. And so it was just that they had to respond quickly, so they had to put all these short-term measures, but it wouldn't have been possible without that. In conclusion, I would like to put 3 points. I think what is very important to understand is that it's very complex. You know, and when a government starts putting in place measures which are, in one sense, in one way positive to the consumer, on the other way are negative for the private sector or for farmers. So it cannot be solved by one short-term single solution. And the second thing which is very important, and I think for students it's very important, is that action is at the country level. And I think you as young students, it's very important to go to the field and to work in the field. And you will realize that one thing which works in Brazil cannot work in Ethiopia and cannot work even in Uganda, which is next by. And my third one is that Mari also emphasized, and that is very important, but we have it at the moment, it's to sustain the political commitment that we have today to continue and to not lose momentum on the importance of investing in the agricultural and food security sector. Thank you very much.